Hey, those of you in the greater Norfolk, Virginia area, I will be there next Friday night doing the program live out of our affiliate there, WNIS, News Talk AM 790. And then Saturday is the major Talk Fest event. It's their 17th annual Talk Fest. I'm told that those of you in the area voted me in the show as the top person of all their guests. We got Glenn Beck coming, Sean Hannity, Dr. Laura, Clark Howard, and I'll be there too. So if you want more information, just go to their website at www.wnis.com and read all about it. Man, can you believe now it went to Saturday, October 13th already? Somebody slow this thing down. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this me?
I don't know, because I don't know you.
I know people that ask you that all the time.
They say, is this me? And I say, I don't know. Who are you?
I am DJ from Chicago.
DJ.
Hi, George. Oh, I love your program.
What's DJ short for?
Dorothy Jane.
Okay.
I'm 60 years old. That's an old name. Oh, I have a great story to tell you.
All right.
And I want to tell you this because I think it would help your listeners. And I had a physical phenomenon happen to me many years ago. And my mom, in 1966, was diagnosed with colon cancer. And she was near death. And I was raised Catholic. I love rosaries. I always slept with my favorite rosary from my grammar school, just a simple black beaded rosary. And I talked to God the night before her operation, and I asked the universe and God to please take something that means a lot to me and spare my mom and leave her here. I was 19. I couldn't even think about losing my mom. And the next morning I woke up, my rosary disappeared. It was gone forever. Never found it. I was sleeping at an aunt's house, my mom's sister, and we searched everywhere and never found it. And my mom today is still alive. She's 82.
Isn't that it? That's incredible.
It is, and I've had many experiences like this, but I just want to share this with you and your listeners because never give up. There's always something out there that helps us. I've been wanting to tell you this story for a long time.
That's a great story.
Thank you. Thank you. I love
I travel. I have a rosary. I put it in my suitcase.
Oh, cool.
I just keep it in there, and wherever I go, it's in there somewhere.
Oh, me too. And I got like 50 rosaries, I say, but this was just the simplest thing, and I was very blessed, and I still got my mom. I'm very lucky.
You got it. Thanks for the story.
Oh, thank you, George.
That's pretty enlightening. Let's go to the regret line, though. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. So what are your regret?
My biggest regret?
Yes, sir.
Well, sir, thank you for at least taking this call, but my biggest regret thus far is that in the last 7 years, I have not been able to break a certain sort of social event that happens anytime I happen to walk into a room. I regret whatever it is I did that signaled off some sort of trigger in which the word owl gets spoken at least by one person in the entire room. And then after that, everybody suddenly starts talking in euphemisms.
All the time?
Whatever. Huh?
All the time when you're in a room?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It definitely does happen. And I don't know if this is knowledge that only that fathers can pass on to sons, so to speak, because I've tried to broach the subject with people, like old friends. And if they knew, they would tell me. But it just seems like, yeah, that's just something that only gets passed on between a father and a son.
Well, sometimes it's not even passed down.
What's that, sir?
Sometimes it's not even passed along from a father to a son. That's weird. First time caller line, it's your turn. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, I'm Dennis O'Connor from Montgomery, Texas.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, it's pretty cool being on here.
Well, good.
That was one strange story you just had there.
That was a strange story. I don't know why he regrets it, but so be it.
I don't know. That's a crazy evening. Anyway, my dad in 1971 basically haunted my house.
Why?
Well, he didn't like the lifestyle that I had chosen.
And I assume he had passed on how far before that?
Very, very soon, within a year.
Okay.
The house I grew up in. And basically, the mama died a few years earlier. And right before he died, we did not get along at all. So there was one point that he walked into my bedroom and said, "You're killing me," pointed his finger at me, you know. And but I know now that was just a cancer talking. But we didn't get along. So I really was happy when he died. I was in college, and I'd invited some friends to move into the house with me. And we took up the lifestyle. That was days of the early days of hippies, and we were doing things that he would not approve of.
No, no.
So the first night that my friend moved into there, we both laid down in bed, and we heard this long wailing, "No!" And I laid there, and I thought, what the heck was that? And then a couple seconds later, "No!" again. And the man, I was in the hallway. I mean, and my friend's in the hallway, and he's just, we're just kind of shaking, going, what the heck was that? And I grew up in the house, you know, so I'm 19 years in this neighborhood. And it came from that direction. And he says, "No, it came from that direction." So we go outside, and I expected all the house lights to be on. It was a city, Covington, Kentucky. And the streets were quiet, nothing going on. And that was the first instance. And what we figured later was that that voice was coming from the wall that existed between the two rooms. Because as the months dragged on, Dad would do things like pound on that wall, loud, booming, that you could hear from both bedrooms.
Was he ever successful in getting you to change your lifestyle?
No, not through his efforts. My lifestyle changed many years later.
You grew out of it.
But I had found out that it definitely was him when I married my wife about 4 years ago. It turns out that she talks to dead people. She's a medium.
Ah.
People in the Houston area would know her. She's becoming kind of world-renowned, Georgia O'Connor. And she,
very sensitive, huh?
She actually brought my dad to talk to me, and he admitted to what he was doing. And he's kind of a rough guy, and he said that when I'd mentioned something about the banging on the walls, he said that was my head.
Well, it's good that he still had a sense of humor.
I've since learned, since my wife talks to dead people every day, I've since learned they take their personality with them. And he had a great sense of humor, and we have since made up. We're I know he's around me all the time, and we've worked through issues, you know, some 30 years later that we had. So it's
better later than ever, I guess.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next line. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I have kind of a situation. I've always kind of, like, trusted my intuition. But ever since I was, like, 9, 10 years old, I would have, like, deja vu feelings.
Sure.
Per se. Well, I was really close to my grandfather, and he had passed away on March 1st, back when I was 12 years old. Didn't really think, I mean, it hit me really hard because I was like out of six grandchildren, I was the closest. Well, then I had a situation that just started this last year. My dad was diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme, which is brain cancer.
Is that what that is? Oh.
Yeah, and he only lasted 6 months, exactly. 6 months from the day he was diagnosed, he passed away 6 months later. And I was dealing with my great-grandmother, who was sick at the same time, who I was also very close with. And I was actually scheduled to go into surgery to have a hysterectomy done because I have high cancer risk in my family. And they said, you're done having your kids, go. My intuition, which I've always followed, was telling me something's off, don't go into surgery, you know, and I almost canceled it. And my grandmother was there and she said, no, she goes, I said, is everybody okay? And she goes, yeah, why? I said, just, is everybody okay? I said, I'm not doing this surgery unless everybody's okay. Well, she's like, yeah, everybody's fine. Went into surgery. They almost lost me during surgery due to hemorrhaging. Well, then I found out 2 days after I came out of surgery that my great-grandmother had passed away while I was on the surgical table.
Oh, my God.
And that the exact time she passed away was when they got me back. So I thought, okay, this is kind of odd, you know, made my hair stand up. When my dad, just this last December, December 12th, it's been exactly just 10 months and a day. We were all by his bedside and everything. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I hear him say, Leah Christine, wake up. Clear as a bell. And I'm like, you know, he was in a coma and everything. And I was like, what? And I woke everybody up that was in the room. I said, Dad, just talk to me. They said, what? And then 12 minutes later, he passed away. And I brought up the story about my grandfather because I just found out yesterday on the 12th, because I'm in Central Time, so it's now the 13th.
Yeah.
My husband was adopted. They put on his birth certificate approximately how old he was. Well, my mother-in-law sent me a copy.
Where are you? You're gone. Still there? Nope. She's gone. Darn cell phones. Charge it back up again. Man, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello? Is there anybody there? Are you there? Nope. Let's go to our next line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Hey, I'm Chris.
There's somebody. A human is finally on a phone.
How are you?
Good, Chris.
Good. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a Ouija board story.
A Ouija board. You would do that to me. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Well, I'm actually a student at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. And me and my buddies, we all listen to you. We listen to you a lot. We know how you do not like Ouija boards at all.
Right.
And we're in a fraternity, and we live in a fraternity house, and a sorority house is connected to our fraternity house. And there was a story about how a girl hung herself in the room, in the hall. And we didn't believe it, but we had a Ouija board, and we got on it, and we started asking, is there any spirits here that committed suicide on this hallway? And we got a name that said James. It spelled out James on the Ouija board, and that we thought that was weird because we got a name.
Yeah.
And right after that happened, we hear the girls in the sorority just start screaming. We go outside, and we see that the electricity on only that side of the building had turned off. After we say it, we turn around, we look at everybody, and we're like, take your hands off it. Stop. As they took their hands off the Ouija board, all of the electricity had turned back on.
Same thing happened to me.
How so?
Well, when I first did a Ouija board, this is a long time ago. Everything went wrong in a studio I was in. Lights went off, computers didn't work. As soon as the Ouija board was off or out, everything went back on again.
It was weird, though, because sad to say, my buddy, his dad had just passed away, and we also got his last name on. And none of my friends knew this up at school, but his last name came up. They did not know his last name, and I was freaked out about it. It was just weird, but Ouija boards, they kind of freaked me out.
Never again?
No, we threw it away.
Good for you. Good for you. Let's go to the next line where it is, wild card line it is. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hopefully you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Oh, good. I was calling because I was listening the other night when Sean David Morton was on.
Right.
And he was just getting, like, really interesting, and his time was up. And so We don't know what happened, and I wondered if you were going to do any kind of a follow-up on that, because I'm anxious to know.
Yeah, he'll be back for a full program. We only had him scheduled for about an hour that night.
Well, he'll be back, but when? Is it going to be before or after the
well,
attack?
If it's after, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, but
let me tell you that. Let me make a prediction. He'll be back on before the attack.
Okay, well, assuming that we're going to have to combat the attack mentally, will you be our leader and help us to do that?
I will be our leader, and we'll do that. You have my promise.
Because that's the only course we have. You know, nobody else is going to listen to us. Military won't listen.
Now I know. We won't do it alone, though. We'll have a number of people with us if we have to.
Okay, then.
We're all in it together. Don't forget, I won't let you down. Next up, let's go to our regrets line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dan from Reston, Virginia.
Hey, Dan.
I don't know if you've had this experience before, but my regret centers around making promises to God to get me out of a certain situation and then not living up to that expectation.
Yeah, I've done a few of those in my life.
And you I don't know if it's my belief in my Catholicism.
It's the old, please, God, I'll never do this again.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then he bails you out, and you go back and you do it again.
Right. So I just wanted to share with you. I got a quick ghost story.
Sure.
I was living in a town called Bearsville. It was up in New York, and we had just moved into this cabin for the summer. And my first day there, I walked in the house, and facing opposite the front door was a mirror. And I looked in the mirror for a quick second, and I saw the outline of a face. And George, the face was the blackest black you couldn't even imagine. It was like a black that I couldn't even describe before. You know, it was that black. And once I looked at the face, it just turned and went away. So I said to myself, how am I going to deal with this? So the first thing I did is I said, okay, if you're here, I'm not going to worry about it. It's okay. I'm not scared of you. And then ever since then, all this strange stuff started happening in the house. So to make a long story short, we got out of there quickly.
I don't blame you. By the way, Art Bell will be doing his annual Ghost to Ghost show on Halloween night in just a few weeks. And I don't think Art will be on before that. And if memory serves me with all the programs, he always liked for you to send him emails of your ghost stories. Same when he does the prediction show, and then I think he can email you back. Put a phone number in there as well. Art's email address is up there at coasttocoastam.com with all of ours, and send him some stories, and I'm sure he wants to start accumulating them for his annual Ghost to Ghost show. So make sure you do that. Also, I want to give you the schedule for next week. We've got another group of incredible guest. Michael Corey joins us on Monday. He's a psychic medium. He's a parapsychological investigator. He's going to be looking at some of the hauntings on California's highways, as well as some other unsolved ghostly stories. Tuesday, Yvonne Smith joins us. She is a certified hypnotherapist, and she'll discuss her research on UFO abduction cases, including a multiple witness case, which she says proves the phenomenon is not a product of brain chemistry. Jessica Snyder-Sachs joins us as we talk about a little bit of good germs, bad germs, and surviving the bacterial world, kind of a real science show that day after a couple paranormal shows. Thursday, kind of a surprise, at least for now. Friday will be a series of open lines out of Norfolk, Virginia. I'll be back in a moment with open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for a hearty hello to all of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 500 strong. Thank you so much. Streamlink members, thanks for all you do. XM Satellite, and then the various chat rooms that are cropping up everywhere. Of course, the very supportive NighthawkZone.com folks. Thank you for everything you've done over the last year plus as you continue to grow and grow and grow. AboveTopSecret.com, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Form, Pirates Into Infinity, Frog Forum, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace, Coast to Coast chat rooms, and all the others that keep popping. popping up in coffee shops all across America and Canada. Thank you for making Coast to Coast the highest rated late night talk show in the country. Back in a moment. Okay, as we move along here with open lines on Coast to Coast, we'll pick it up by going to our first time caller line and give you the honor. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jenny, and I listen to you on WPID FM in Paducah, Kentucky.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was going to tell you about an alien encounter I had.
All right.
This occurred on Christmas Eve morning in 2005, and due to a house fire, I was living in a single-wide mobile home behind my home. Well, my house was being reconstructed, and I had listened to the show that evening, and I went to bed, and about 5:30 in the morning, I woke up, and I heard scratching and footsteps on top of the trailer. And I looked outside, I didn't see anything out there, so I didn't really know what it was. And then all of a sudden, I heard this, like, it sounded like rocket thrusters, or, you know, something like with a lot of velocity, and it shook the trailer to the very foundation. So what I think it was like aliens on top of the roof.
You might have had a small UFO up there.
Yeah, like a little pod ship or something.
Did you ever go up there to see if there was any burn marks or anything like that?
No, I didn't, but I should.
You mean it might still be there?
It's still here. Yeah, I still got the trailer here.
Yeah,
but
all right, go up there.
That would be worthwhile to do that. Sure would.
Go up there now. You had a portable phone?
No, I can't call and drive the trailer.
How tall is it? About 8 feet?
Yeah. I have a ladder or something, though, Donna. I think I
you
do.
You don't have a ladder close by?
No. Not tonight. But that's a good idea, though. That would be like really...
Well, you call in and let us know if there was anything up there.
Okay, I sure will.
And if you had a round and a scorched mark or something, that would be weird.
That would be such good evidence, wouldn't it?
Yep, sure would be. Okay, hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Let's move on to our regret line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, is this George?
Yes, it is me.
George, I have a huge regret. I was hitchhiking. I was about 15 years old, a very young hippie in the late 60s. And I was hitchhiking with this girl who was pregnant. She looked like she was ready to go. And I just, you know, was very protected over, you know, I was like watching her real close. And
sure.
She said that the father of her baby was going to be picking her up. And I couldn't figure out how the father of her baby could pick her up out hitchhiking. And long story short, so a bunch of callers can get in. This van pulled over after, you know, she kept trying to run me off, telling me, she kept warning me, get away, get away, get away.
Now let's go back just one bit, though. She was hitchhiking. Were you driving or are you hitchhiking, too?
Oh, I was hitchhiking also.
Okay.
It's easier to get a ride, especially with a pregnant girl.
All right. And did you know her?
No, I just...
All right, so you were... Okay, all right, now I'm with you.
Okay. And she kept saying, you don't want to be around me. I go, why? You know, and she said, well, the father of the baby. And back then it wasn't common. It was, you know, as common as it is today for, single mothers, you know. And I said, what do you mean father of the baby? And I said, is it your husband? She goes, no. I said, well, what are you worried about? And she goes, you just don't want to be around me. She just wouldn't tell me anything else but that. So she kept saying, you stay here. So I'd stay about a quarter mile behind her and, you know, I'd sneak up, you know. And anyway, finally this old 64 van pulled over, peace signs on it and everything, and curtains and all that stuff in the windows. And the doors opened, and she immediately went to the back of the van. I jumped in. The guy said, you don't want this ride. I go, sure, I do. I'll go wherever you're going. And he turned around, the driver, and he pulled off his glasses, his hat, and he had these teeth that were, like, really, really bad. It was definitely a reptilian.
Oh, and, man. You mean, like, all corroded teeth?
Birth at the same time. I was hearing her screaming in the back and the baby screaming. Then he just blew in my face, and I blacked out. I was just like, I don't remember anything after that, except I woke up some 700 miles north of there 8 days later. Asleep next to a fruit stand. And I asked the guy at the fruit stand, I said, well, what day is it? What time is it? And he says, oh, it's Friday. And I go, oh, good. I've only, I only lost 24 hours, but it was like
a week
plus a day. So I have 8 days of missing time as a result of that encounter. And ever since then, I've been haunted by these abductions, you know. And I think that was, you know, the first thing that started it.
How weird can this be? And maybe that wasn't a Volkswagen.
No, it was a Ford.
It was a Ford. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm calling to tell you what I regret.
What do you regret?
Well, I regret telling you this, first of all.
Oh, all right.
My name's Jude, and I'm in Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, Jude.
And there was a hard time in my life where my mother, my father, my sister and brother died. And I guess I got depressed, and I met this man. He ended up getting me on drugs. So I got strung out on drugs pretty bad. And,
Well, that is a regret.
That's what I regret, because it was my youngest daughter. They tried to get her loaded, and they killed her.
Who killed her?
The drug addicts. And I regret ever doing that.
Well, are you saying, Jude, that she was born, stillborn?
No, she was 19 years old. And the drug addicts that I was hanging around with.
Oh, they got her. I see.
They tried to get her loaded, and they overdosed her.
All right.
And it killed her. And I live with that every day. I regret doing drugs, but I know that you have a large audience in prison. And I just want them to know that when you do things like that, how it affects other people.
How are you doing now?
Oh, I can't forgive myself.
You have to. You can't live with this forever.
I worry about that, because sometimes you have guests that say that you have to judge yourself.
Well, you made a mistake. You made a mistake with the wrong people, and you have paid dearly the price.
Yeah.
You've carried this for how many years now, Jude?
Almost 10.
It's a long time. 10 years out of your life. It's probably aged you and everything else, I bet.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Don't you think she's forgiven you now?
I don't know.
I bet she has.
But I have a little chihuahua. She's my redeemer.
A little chihuahua, what'd you call it?
Mimi.
Mimi the chihuahua?
Yeah. Yeah, I would never do anything ever to hurt anything ever again.
And how's your health?
Bad.
Bad? What's wrong with you?
Oh, I have hepatitis and diabetes. Everything's wrong with me. I have a tumor in my kidney, but I keep on living.
Keep on living. What was that? Did you ever see the movie The Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Keep on living or keep on dying.
Yeah.
You got a choice.
I'm straightened up. I don't do anything wrong at all. To thy own self be true.
All right, Jude. How long have you been listening to the program?
For a very long time.
All right. Well, you keep listening.
Okay. This is just to tell the people, don't do anything that affects other people in a harmful way.
Thank you, Jude.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Okay. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Yes, hi, George.
Hi.
Greetings from the capital city of the great state of Ohio.
Well, hello there.
What an interesting caller that just was.
Yeah, it sure was. I hope she fights the good fight. Yep.
Yeah, I just had a quick question before I told my ghost story, if you have time.
Okay.
Have you ever caught the show Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, and what was your opinion?
Oh, yeah, we've had them on the program. I love those guys. They're good. I think if I remember, they started as plumbers.
Yes.
That was their trade, and, you know, they went into the ghost hunting, and they've taken it pretty darn seriously. And the sci-fi folks, the executives who keep the show going, whom I know, they love them, and they're good guys. I like them. I think anything that helps publicize the paranormal world, the ghostly world, is good by me. And there's a lot of good, dedicated people out there. And it's a good show, and they've got some pretty strong ratings, and they keep getting renewed.
Absolutely. I've watched the season passionately for the past 2 years and just find it absolutely fascinating.
It's Grant and Jason, right?
Yes, it is. I believe so. Fantastic. Well, I just wanted to call you to tell you, I attended a summer camp for about 10 years. I'm 22 years old now, and I worked there for 2 years after I had attended for 10 years. And it's in northwest central Ohio. I won't name the name or anything like that. However, it was really interesting. Up until the point that I started working there, I hadn't had any ghostly experiences. When I had become a staff member, I began hearing stories from other employees and whatnot, and didn't really think anything of it. And as the summer progressed, they have a cabin that was transplanted there from another portion of Ohio from about the mid to late 1800s, and it was transplanted into a part of the camp that was in a heavily wooded area. Anyways, we would take kids there for overnights for one night during the week, and this one night, myself as well as three other counselors were there, and it's basically consists of a top floor and a bottom floor, and there's one stairway up at the top. With the top floor, only a slim area to get in and out. There was no way to peek down or anything. Anyways, we had settled the kids down for the night, and we were laying there and just chatting away, when all of a sudden a stick flew across the room, and we thought, that's kind of odd. Didn't really think anything of it. Went upstairs real quick to check and see if any of the kids moved around or anything. Nothing really came about it. So we settled back down, and it happened again. And these sticks were about 6 inches to a foot long. A second one had hit next to another counselor, and we thought it was kind of interesting. So one of the counselors had a night vision camera. I took it up the middle, or I started walking up the steps, and got up to the middle of the steps and was able to both see downstairs and upstairs. And as I went across the room, a stick flew across the room out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere. There was no possible way, and landed in a trash bin by one of the counselors. And they all thought that it was me that had done it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there saying, honestly, guys, it was not me. And they didn't believe me, so I replayed it and showed it to them, and we were all completely shocked by it, and I was at the only place in the entire cabin that something would have been able to have been thrown, so it was no way possible from upstairs. So it was very interesting, and that's just one of about probably 5 or 6 stories that we really experienced, and very peculiar. And the ironic part about it is the video camera of the counselor that had it actually lived in Poland. So at this point in time, I have no proof of it. It's one of those experiences that are just for fun, and just thought I'd share it with you.
But you know what happened.
Mm-hmm,
and,
absolutely.
And that's the important thing. Let's go to our next wild card line. Good morning. You're on the air with us.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Diane, and I'm calling from North Texas.
Hi, Diane.
How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Great. I have a story that I don't think I've heard on Coast to Coast. I've been listening for, approximately about a year now, year and a half or so.
And you don't think we've ever touched on this one? Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
I don't think so.
All right.
My husband and I bought a home in far north Texas, and it is located on 10 acres. And at the front of the property, there's a highway. And up at the front, near the highway, there's a sign that it says NOAA, N-O-A-A, and I believe it's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Yep, sure
and
is.
And I didn't think much of it, but we'd been living here just a few months when some really strange things started happening. One thing that happened was we had two Doberman Pinschers. One of them was only about 6 months old and just very beautiful. And one night she wanted to go out desperately outside, and so I let her out. I went outside with her, and she took off. I had her on a leash. She took off and ran up to the street. And at that time of the morning, there's hardly any traffic out whatsoever. But it just so happened that a car came by and hit her. at that time. And the traffic goes about, the speed limit's about 70 miles an hour right there.
Oh, my God.
So it really got her good. And I came back to the house screaming and crying, and my husband went up and said, well, you know, she's just, there's, she's gone. And he took a sheet up there and covered her up. And then he gets up early to go to work. So he left about 5:30 that morning, and it was just starting to get light out. And he stopped up at the front of the road, got out, went to look, and the dog was nowhere to be found. And so then he came back home from work that day, and he went over to look because he said there would have been quite a bit of blood.
And you would think maybe animal control came and got him or something, right?
Well, it would have had, well, what happened was I called the sheriff's office.
Okay.
We don't have animal control out here. And they said they don't come by and pick up animals, that you have to take care of yourself because we're outside of the city limits.
Oh, my.
Well, so anyway, he said there was no sign, no blood or anything. Well, we've had flickering lights here in this house that flicker off and on all the time. And I have this clock that is called an affirmation station that I got for a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And it records, you can record affirmations into it and wake up to an affirmation or go to sleep to an affirmation. Well, one day I was messing around with it and I went to record something in it, and I pushed the button and my husband started talking, and he was talking to Death. He said, Death, what did you do with my dog? Or no, he said, Death, how come you killed my dog? How come you took my dog? And then I started talking because I'm the person that's more logical.
And more practical,
I'm
okay.
Looking for a logical reason, and I don't believe in ghosts or anything like that. So I tried to explain, you know, the dog just probably hurt another dog or something. And I'm talking on this recorder. My husband and I never had this conversation.
Well, whose voices were they?
They were our voices. I have two adult sons, and one of my sons, I played it for my son, and he said, it sounds kind of like you're in a dream or something.
That is weird. Now, don't tell me, we're taking the first top of the hour here, but don't tell me this dog showed up on the porch. It didn't, did it?
No, the dog did not show back up. But I had a toad sitting on my clock about a week ago inside the house. My husband is seeing 11-11 all the time.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, it sounds like the animal still is coming back, but from another plane of existence.